Young Wayne, but I did not know it was in the news today, so it wasn't like I was speaking out of turn trying to break news or anything like that. But I guess,
learned about that.
Look at Teddy, make you squirm.
F-150 tax.
Oh, Lord.
Life is awesome.
It truly is. It truly is. You got to smile to keep from crying more times than not.
And that Dowell Loggins tape will just make me endlessly happy.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Turkey hole.
Honey, the turkey. Ball strong where it's right there in that, you know, you guys saw it Coach Gruden talked about the other day.
I wonder if, like, you just let him, if he was comfortable around his people, it's like the Moonshiner show where you just have to have the, yes, there's a show called Moonshiners, okay. Dan.
I'm sure there is.
They've got captions underneath, they got subtitles underneath. You don't understand a word they're saying. Why'd you look like that? You made me feel like I shouldn't have said that
word. No, it's all good.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. He's a member of the Moonshiners if he's around his people, maybe. I like the Moonshiners. I like being a detective. Apparently, I'm going to be one right now.
Here's what I have. I've got four ex-Bulls currently in the league.
Okay.
Who are all playing about the same as far as total value.
Okay.
And I'm just going to have you try to figure out who they are.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that next. He's Dan Bernstein. I'm Dan right here on 670 The Score.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dan McNeil. Coach Fitz and the Cats are back at Ryan Field this Saturday versus Minnesota for their final home game of the season. Tickets are on sale at nusports.com. NBA, there's a word the Bulls will have to endure throughout the rebuild.
The blowouts are worse. Again, you got to find a way to bounce back. We have to have a great practice today. You got to get that bad taste out of our mouths.
The Fred Hoiberg Bulls were outscored 22-7 in the first quarter last night in Oklahoma City, and they were romped. The Bulls host Charlotte tomorrow. Football and the Bears.
I'd say defensively, I think they're very, very strong. I think that front seven is nothing to overlook. I think they're strong. They're playing at a high level.
Praise in the person of Detroit wide receiver Golden Tate, who leads the Lions with 659 yards worth of catches. The Bears defense is 10th in the NFL against the pass this year. And we will find out baseball's MVP tonight. This scoreboard update was brought to you by Grandview Homes. Grandview will buy your home today. Go to grandviewhomes.com. And Sweden's greetings from Volvo. This holiday season, celebrate the beauty of family with our holiday offers on cars like the XC90 with more standard features and best-in-class safety. You can keep the ones who matter most safe. I'm Mark Rohde, and you are listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the number one ranked sports station in Chicago. 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Illinois Media School.
Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends.
The Bernstein and Golf Show.
The Bears aren't hip to that whole scoring.
That's their own red zone is inside the two.
Right.
Apparently, when pressed about Tariq Cohen and his low number of snaps, Loggins said,
sometimes the defense dictates who's going to be out there.
And
so they're in the no Tariq defense?
Right.
Well, what do they got? They got a 5'6", 175-pound guy like, hey, we're going to guard him with that guy. Don't send him out here.
Thankfully, David Haw then followed up with,
why wouldn't the offense dictate who the defense is going to play?
Well, because we look at the matchups.
Uh-oh.
Stumped him?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
You see Dowell start to lower even more underneath the podium.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
We're here with Terry Bors.
I still maintain this, and this is true. I was the only one in the city excited about Michael Jordan because this was a Bears town then, so nobody was there but me. They said, Michael will be available if you want. I'm the only one made an appointment to go see him. Nobody wanted to go see him. He was taken third in the draft. Nobody cared. It was like, okay, who'd they take again? Oh, Michael Jordan.
And that's
okay,
when they were practicing like
Angel Guardian.
Angel Guardian,
right, yeah, so where they, see, they didn't have that upper deck where you could go hide if somebody punched you. They didn't have that. You were all on one level in a locker room, because that's where Orlando Woolridge used to stick his head out of the locker room and say, get out of here!
No, one
fool!
One his head.
More action. More excitement. More everything.
Bernstein and Goff, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's what you have, the Bernstein and Goff Show, 1 until 6.
Yeah.
Every day.
Right here.
Yes.
On The Score.
So, don't ask me why I did this.
I never do.
Every day, I like to go through it. And ever since the Tribune stopped publishing NBA box scores, I have to seek them out elsewhere.
Miss it.
I miss it. It was part of my day that I always loved looking through the box score to see who's scoring on whom and how many times James Harden goes to the foul line. It was always how many rebounds Andre Drummond would grab. It's just sort of one of my things. So now I find them elsewhere, but I make it part of my day. It helps me familiarize myself with who's where in the NBA, because there's always, everything's changing. There's always new names and guys you never heard of and people showing up at the ends of benches like Brandon Paul and Fred VanVleet and all. They're like, wow, that guy. So I found four ex-Bulls who, through this, so far this season, 15 games for some, 12 for others, they're all around the same quality of player by win shares. Two of these players have 8/10 of a win, and two of these players have one win. So that is overall on big. I just picked sort of a
four guys.
Four guys.
So you're not going to give me one guy so I could try to guess the other three, or I guess
it's
all
just,
four.
Okay. It's just, yeah, it's just they've all been around the same kind of quality. I mean, let me give you some other numbers here. And all on, you know, pretty good. There's none of these guys are going to garbage teams. This one player is averaging 11.6 points. He's shooting 50% from the field. 37% from three. One guy, 9 points a game, but 49% from 3-point range.
Tony Snell.
You got it.
Yeah.
Very good. Tony Snell is worth a win so far.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Snell
got paid.
Is at 49% from 3-point range. That is, he's 11% shooting over his career number from that distance. So it'll probably come down unless he's gotten better at it or the current teammates he's with, the floor spacing is allowing him more open shots.
So no longer a bun.
He's no longer a BUN. Now, another one of these guys who is at a single win, excuse me, 0.8. This guy is at 8/10 of a win, but he's averaging 15.3 points. The problem is he's only shooting 29.6% from three.
Former Bull.
Yep.
How recent a Bull?
Recent.
Buckets.
Jimmy G. Buckets, except from three, the G stands for gets.
G stands for gong.
Yes, that would be a different, but he is worth 8/10 of a win, that 3-point number, that efficiency dragging him down.
So we got like two wing players, so the other two got to be wing players. If
Nothing has to be anything. This other guy, so this we'll give you one more, sort of the breakdown here. In 14 games, he's averaging 10.1 points and 7.6 rebounds, shooting 53.6% from the field, and he's worth one win.
10-7.
Yeah. 7.6.
That doesn't mean he's a starter, though.
Tony Kukko?
No, it's not Tony Kukko.
Nope.
10-7, so he's a big.
So you got Tony Snell, and you got Buckets. So
you're
looking for two former Bulls. One guy's at 11.6 points and shooting 50% from the field, and he's worth 8/10 of a win. And I kept seeing his name, and he's become, obviously, I mean, with double-digit scoring there, he's become a significant rotational player. I don't know how much is starting.
I'm a man in Miami right now.
Mm-mm.
Not James Johnson, right?
No. No. Although I give him a lot of credit for resurrecting what I thought. I thought it was a career off the rails.
Yeah, he figured out a career. Yeah. Yep. Former Bull getting 10-7 in the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a wing player or a big guy? He's considered a big.
I would consider him a big, but he can face up and shoot. That's kind of what he does. Don't look at the text.
I don't have the text on. 10-7. He's former. How recent a bull, may I ask? Has he been gone long enough that I shouldn't be thinking about
him? No, relatively recent.
Recent. Who the Bulls lose recently as a big man that might be worth something?
He was on the Bulls in the 2016-2017 season.
The hell? Taj?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. There 10-7, huh?
10-7.6. Yes, Taj Gibson. Yeah,
he's just the muscle for Karl Anthony Towns right now.
Hey, he like you say, valuable role player.
Without question,
knows what he does. Now,
without question.
Now, this was the guy that sort of that piqued my interest here. It was the very first name that I mentioned, and this is a guy who in 15 games is averaging 11.6, 2.7 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 50% from the field, 37% from three. I want to see how long this takes you. In 15 games, but 11.6 points per game.
It's not Jamal Crawford.
It is not. It is again, I would say, it's not somebody like that. I would say this is the idea of relatively recent. And
relatively
I would tell you,
recent.
His team is 8-7. And his
team's doing well enough.
They're
a part of it.
Competitive NBA team.
He's making a difference on the team.
Yep.
8-7 right now, too.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of teams around that line.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not thinking anybody on the Magic. I'm not thinking anybody on the Pacers. Out West. Is he Western Conference team?
Western
Conference player?
I always get confused with the conference that they're. Yes. No, I do with
at
it.
Oh, Mississippi.
Because this team, because there's been. You'll
give
understand
me
what I get. Western Conference.
All right.
Memphis, then.
No. Memphis? No, there's no former Bulls on Memphis right now.
I know, but that's what always confuses
me. Yeah. No, you're right. Former Etuan Moore?
Yes, Etuan Moore.
There it is.
Of the Pelicans.
Right here.
Is that guy.
Every once in a while, I prove my worth.
Nicely done.
That wasn't the segment. You can kiss my ass, I'm out of here.
Etuan Moore, a bull as recently as 2016.
Yes, that's why I was thinking Orlando. I was like, he's not on Orlando anymore.
Yeah, but look at the work Etuan Moore is doing.
Wait a minute, hold on. Did he just make up a segment so he could celebrate Etuan Moore, Tony Snell, hello, Jimmy Buckets, and Taj Gibson?
I just wanted to play Jason Goff, Bulls detective.
That last one was tough.
It was pretty impressive work because I was kind of looking around like, how does that compare? Like when you start looking at the fact that he's got the same win shares as Jimmy Butler.
Well, Jimmy's strikingly okay with how things have gone too, because mm-hmm. I've been watching some of those Timberwolves games and he's not grousing. He's not pouting. He's not, you know, stomping back to the, he's actually, when Tom is going off on guys, you could see Jimmy sometimes saying like, I know what's going to happen. Like you can tell the body language, like, all right, wait till we walk over here. Cause Andrew Wiggins, for whatever reason, Andrew Wiggins instincts, don't match his athleticism. So when he's one of the worst pick and roll players in the NBA. Like in the entire league, he's one of the worst at pick and roll defense and pick and roll offense, which is crazy because he's got a decent enough handle.
That was
bad as
power
athlete.
Together.
That's when your knees have retired and you're still playing NBA basketball. Oh. But no, there's so many, and people think it's just because I'm an NBA stan that I've been saying this and you've been saying this as of late, but there are so many entertaining matchups on a night to night basis in the NBA right now. You look at the guys under 25 right now that are crushing the league. The best player right now in the NBA is 22 years old.
That's amazing.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is the, and I know people, LeBron and Durant, by the end of the year, they will be probably. And yes, I'd take either one of those guys.
DeMarcus.
But as far as PR is concerned, it's only an offensive stat. I know this already before you started throwing your basketball analytics at me. He is as efficient as any under 24-year-old player has ever been.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yes. And we think about this. How old do you think Kyrie Irving is? Didn't Kyrie Irving feel like he's 29,
23, right?
He's 25.
25?
25 years
old.
He
came out at
at 18.
18.
Freshman. It seems like Kyrie Irving has been in our faces with injuries and all these other things and winning championships for years now. That dude's 25 years old.
Killing it.
25 years old. Anthony Davis.
Look what they're doing without Gordon Hayward.
Right, exactly. Well, they never got a chance to know what they were with him, though. That's the thing.
Just think it's like the Kyle Schwarber thing.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
25-year-old and under, you got Giannis, you've got Kyrie Irving, you've got Anthony Davis, who has gotten off to a historic start. If you look at his numbers for his career, if he can stay healthy, he'll be fine, right? He's 22 or 23, I believe, 23 years old. You know, you mentioned DeMarcus. I think DeMarcus is 26 now, so he's out of it. And then you look at what the hell the Philadelphia 76ers have in the new Shaq and Penny with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. That man last night had 46, 15, 7, and 7. 7 assists and 7 blocks for a big man. You talk about the Lakers all you want. No, that is on an NBA floor with NBA coaching on the other side, engineering a defense to try to keep him from getting the ball. He put the dream shake on dudes. I just hope his body doesn't give out on him. Because that's, you know, that's what you've seen over the last couple of years. But man, every single night there is a matchup where you're like, oh, that guy's a star, or this guy's a star. Oh, I want to watch this guy. My guy Jokic in Denver is getting no play right now, and they're 8-6. Like this league right now, the same way baseball fans the last couple of years have felt about the young talent. And the rejuvenation of fun and spirit. There's a little street ball coming back to the NBA now.
See, I was just going to get there. It's not just the guys. It's the style.
Yes. The game is fun. The game is a lot of fun.
It's like watching 2K17 sometimes now.
The game is crazy.
Yeah.
And you got rookies who are the adjustment period, I think, for the guys who have it, I think, is a little shorter. The guys who have it, you're like, oh, first 2 weeks. Oh, yeah, this guy, Malik Monk, can play in the NBA. You know, even if it's coming off a bench. Like, whereas before,
that was clear.
You'd see him in the latter stages of the season starting to get big minutes. He's on a team right now in Charlotte where he's one of the first rotational guards off the bench because he can play the game. And guys are like,
also teams understand now the importance of finding those guys earlier to rest their stars if they think they're going to make a playoff run.
And the competition. The competition.
You didn't
factor.
Mention Porzingis.
I was about to say. Yeah, dude's scoring 31 a game and he's the 22-year-old Latvian who's just acclimated to the country. Yeah, exactly. The guy, I think the shots that we rightfully take at the AAU situation when it comes to, you know, guys pretty much, you know, trafficking kids and the coaching that doesn't take place in AAU basketball. I think for every truth that is in those statements, there's also truth in the level of competition that these kids run into every summer. If you want to be the best and you're traveling on the best team and that target is on you, whether you're going to Orlando
like
or
you say,
Texas.
They're grudge holders,
yes,
right? They're prove it guys.
And these guys go to college and like, oh, okay, well, you know, this conference play is the only thing that matters and getting to an Elite Eight is the only thing that matters. I'm here for 1 year. Now I got to go do it against guys that I've been playing ball in the summer. They play ball against professional players in the summer too because these old heads know that these kids will keep them young. So you get a lot of young players in the NBA who are taking the league by storm. There's a couple of good draft classes that are flourishing right now.
This segment brought to you by Volvo. Sweden's greetings from Volvo this holiday season. Enjoy limited time offers on cars like the XC90. Visit your local Volvo dealer today. I mentioned I had a basketball story that I wanted to get to. It's too good for and probably too in depth for in other news. But it's just amazing sometimes that I had one of my buddies from the gym years ago played at DeMatha High School. He was a star player, recruited basketball player at DeMatha High School. And he told me about this story because it involves DeMatha and it involves one of the greatest basketball players who's ever lived and how their lives intertwined. And one of these guys, the main guy involved, just died a couple of days ago. And it just right after I'd heard about this, I look up today and I saw his name in my Twitter feed. Like, what happened? Like, oh man, Sid Catlett died. You probably don't know who Sid Catlett is. He is part of a unbelievably interesting basketball story. I have it for you next on The Score.
Mitch Trubisky and the Bears are now getting ready to face another division opponent, the Detroit Lions. Get a full preview right up to game time on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute. Folks here in Los Angeles are freaking out about L.A. Laker Lonzo Ball. And truthfully, he has been a disaster shooting the ball. And last night was his worst game to date. I mean, he's not just bad, he's historically bad when it comes to jacking it up. And if he can't shoot it, and right now he can't, and if they're benching him in the fourth quarter of games like they have the last two, he's not going to be the star that they expect him to be. Now, the good news is, other star players couldn't shoot it early in their careers either. Jason Kidd's perimeter game was garbage, but he'll go down as one of the best ever. Russell Westbrook could not really shoot it initially, and he's a surefire Hall of Famer. I'm not saying that Lonzo Ball is either one of those guys. I'm saying it's still way too soon to start throwing dirt on this guy. And it doesn't matter how ugly his shot looks, as long as it goes in. Right now, it's not, but it's still way too soon to panic. I'm Jim Rome.